Hello and welcome to another episode of the Southern Plains Podcast. My name is Clay Pope. I'm with the USDA Southern Plains Climate Hub in El Reno, Oklahoma. And this podcast is a joint venture of the Climate Hub and the Redlands Community College Division of Agriculture, also located in El Reno, Oklahoma. We appreciate all of you taking time out of your day to listen to this episode on the podcast. And today as our guest, we have Julian Reyes. He is a fellow with the Southwest Climate Hub. Julian, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to visit with us here on the podcast.
No problem. Thanks, Clay. I appreciate your time as well.
Well, I tell you what, for our listeners out there, why don't you tell a little bit about yourself and what you do with the Southwest Climate Hub?
Sure. I always like to introduce myself as an engineer who likes to talk to people. So my background is actually in engineering, which is a bit different than a lot of the other people that I work with. But I'm originally from the Seattle area in Washington State. And then I did my bachelor's and my PhD in civil engineering at Washington State University over on the eastern side of Washington State. So very dry climate, lots of agriculture, lots of apples, winter wheat. And during that time, I developed an interest in asking the so what of why we do our research and our science and really making sure that it's used by our stakeholders, whether they be farmers or ranchers or even policymakers. And with the USDA Southwest Climate Hub and the fellow position, I decided to apply and ended up in Las Cruces, New Mexico, which is quite different than where I grew up. But I've been here in Las Cruces for more than 3 years, and I've enjoyed my time here. And I've enjoyed working with Clay and all the other my colleagues with the Climate Hubs program. And I'm excited to talk to you and everyone who listens to this podcast about some of the great work we're doing related to agricultural risk management and a changing climate.
You know, that's one of the things, the podcast is a venture of the Southern Plains Climate Hub. But for our listeners there, why don't you talk a little bit about some of the things that you're working on there at the Southwest Hub?
Yeah, I'd be happy to explain a little bit. So one of my major projects at the moment is has been the development of a tool we call the Ag Risk Viewer. And I'll talk a little bit about that later. But what we've been doing is we've been working with one of our U.S. Department of Agriculture partners or agencies, the Risk Management Agency, and really giving life to some data that we think will help farmers and ranchers improve their decision-making and really what decisions they make on the ground. And some of those data that we're working on and working with are crop insurance loss data. So the Risk Management Agency, or RMA is the acronym, they oversee a program that is a financial safety net to a lot of farmers and ranchers, the federal crop insurance program. For the past couple of years, they've insured over more than $100 billion worth of crops. And in the past 10 years, they've paid out over $100 billion actually to our farmers and ranchers. And this financial safety net is really important to our farmers, especially in times of market changes that affect the prices of crops, or weather and climate-driven events such as drought or hail that damage crops. And so we feel that these numbers, these data, can really provide our farmers and ranchers a better sense of what's happening on the landscape over longer periods of time. So that's been one of my major projects here at the Southwest Climate Hub, giving these data life and seeing how they can be used by others. And along with working with agricultural risk management data, we've also been working with the Farm Service Agency to also get at their data in terms of disaster assistance payment data. So, for example, insurance is more proactively insuring against weather or climate events or market declines. But the Farm Service Agency, or FSA, provides after the fact that there was a drought and there was some sort of disaster on your crop and crop damage, you can get some payment for that as well. So I consider myself kind of a data guru or data scientist, and it really excites me to see these data and really how these data can be used to help people.
Well, and that kind of leads, as far as using that data to help people, that kind of leads to the discussion of the Ag Risk Viewer. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the Risk Viewer, what it is, and kind of how it works?
Yeah, so the Ag Risk Viewer is really a web-based platform. So folks can access, discover, and really visualize these crop insurance loss data. And these crop insurance loss data are essentially numbers. For example, how much crop damage was there in a county and how much was paid out, or how much insurance payments were paid out after a disaster or event. And so when you load the Ag Risk Viewer, you come up with a really nice map of the United States by county or by state. You can click on a county, maybe your own county, and you can see what are those top causes of crop loss that we're primarily interested in. For example, you could see that maybe one county drought was the top cause of crop damage or crop loss. Or maybe in another county, you see that changes in market prices or declines in crop prices were the number one cause of crop loss. And in addition to looking at the types of crop damage, you can also look at the top commodities or crops that are damaged. For example, in Whitman County in Washington State, where I lived a third of my life in, winter wheat or wheat is the number one crop that has received damage. And it's just interesting to see these patterns across the landscape. And we think that these information are valuable to decision makers in terms of how they look into the future and really mitigate against weather or climate perils into the future. And as part of the AgriSphere, not only can they click on a county or a state and get the data they want very easily, they can view those data over time, so annual or monthly. And they can also download those data specifically for whatever they would like, whether that is for their county or their state for a specific time period, or even for different types of causes of loss, again, like drought or hail, for example, or even for a particular commodity. And this AgriSk viewer really provides a much easier way to access these data that were previously just in files on the internet that were not very accessible. And so, like I said, we gave them life. And we've had some stories of people actually using these data, whether that be in the classroom as an educational tool or making decisions about drought declarations. And so it's really great to hear and see people using these data, but we're always open to feedback on how we can best serve our stakeholders and other ways to display and show these data so people can continually use them.
One I'd think, too, as a producer, as far as making planning decisions or kind of taking an opportunity to maybe look at the crystal ball and see what the future might hold, you could kind of look backward in the past and see if there's any trends as far as weather impacts, as far as the yields or the impact that the weather's having as far as the crops in your area. Is that something, too, that if, as a producer it could be useful as a tool?
That's exactly right. And so while the tool does not predict or, predict the future, a lot of research has shown that really a significant past event can hold a lot of sway in terms of what a producer does into the current or future management. For example, there in the data, you can see the effect of the Great North American Drought between 2011 and 2013, especially across the Great Plains. Drought made up more than 50% of many of the county's indemnities or insurance payouts. And so when you visualize these data and you see the effects of drought or excess moisture, too much rainfall, you start to get a sense of what are those major causes of crop loss and how can you mitigate against that, either using crop insurance as a financial safety net or other types of measures to mitigate against that. And I think visualizing these data has never been done before in this way, and I think it's a creative use of these data. And as you mentioned, looking at the past to help you mitigate against events into the future.
Now, the data that you have really is just on weather-related losses. It doesn't include the income protection piece of crop insurance. Is that right?
We primarily focus on weather and climate-driven events. We do have some data on the effects of price declines on crops. Those are available, but the Southwest Climate has not done any sort of data analysis on those types of losses specifically. But those data are available on the AgriSphere if people are interested in that. But I am less of an expert on that side of things.
Now, on the data that you've got, there's been some new products that have come available with the last farm bill or two, with some of the things as far as whole farm insurance and some of the products that are tied to pasture conditions. Are those included in the risk viewer, or is that something that you're looking at to include in the future?
So those data are definitely included in the viewer, but we don't pull out the different types of insurance products. Like you mentioned, the whole farm revenue protection program. There are some other area-based plans, especially with that we know that rangeland folks will be using. Since we only divide up the data by the causes of crop loss and the commodities, something we hope to add if folks are interested, and it seems like it, is the insurance plan. And that would definitely give another sense of what are people actually taking up or using in terms of mitigating against these potential events. And I think that's something we may add into the future. And those data are available. We just haven't had time to put them on the website.
What about some of the livestock indemnity programs and livestock feed assistance? Is that, you mentioned you're working with FSA. Is that something that you've considered? Is that part of the tool, or is that a possible addition for the future as well?
That's a great question, Clay. That's kind of our overarching goal, is to keep adding more and more data. Of course, as a scientist, I'm excited about these data. So when we first developed the ag risk viewer, we had in mind other county level data. So not only from RMA, but also from SSA, those disaster assistance payment data. So from the livestock forage program, LFP, but also LIP, the livestock indemnity program. And we have some data, but they're not as long term, and they're a bit more sparse, but we are working on adding those data eventually. We think that that can really provide a greater sense of the types of programs that folks are using against these weather and climate driven events, and also what that can mean into the future in a changing climate. And I will add that not only are we looking at Farm Service Agency FSA data, we've also been interested in NRCS data, especially related to conservation. And in the end, we think, adding NRCS, FSA, along with RMA data really provides a greater sense of the kind of county-level support that USDA provides, not only for conservation, but also mitigating and adapting to a changing climate against weather and extreme events.
You know, you'd mentioned a little bit about some of the stories that you've heard as far as people using the tool. What have you seen as far as folks utilizing the resource and making it work? Has it been folks in the classroom? Have you seen more folks from, say, the crop insurance or from the crop consulting world, producers doing things on their own? Kind of what do you see as far as right now the main consumers for the tool?
That's a great question, Clay. So right now, the tool is freely available to use. There's no payment, but there's also no way of knowing exactly who's using it, since we don't have any sort of question asking, what is your role in terms of in agriculture, or are you a decision maker? But the stories we've heard are folks who are actually using the data because perhaps the site is down. So we hear that the site is down, so they want it. Where's the data? So a few stories. The first one is someone on Twitter asked me where the data were, because they wanted to use the data in a classroom setting as a way to look at the types of weather and climate events that affect agricultural production. The other story I mentioned was about someone in a state-level position using the data to look at past events of drought and how that affected certain areas, and whether a drought declaration should be made based off of previous drought events. I will say that we think that the primary users are extension agents, or those who act as intermediaries between producers and the scientists. We also see a lot of agency folks and academics using the data because it's in a more accessible format, so they're using it in their research. And so while we don't know what research they're doing, we would hope that the research would help producers manage their land into the future in a changing climate.
We know you talked a little bit about people looking at the information as far as trying to tease out if there's been, major impacts from some of the changes that we've seen in the climate conditions in the United States. As you've looked at the data, has anything jumped out at you? Is there one story, or do you have any anecdotes where somebody say, I was really shocked to see this happen to winter wheat in the Great Plains, or this happened to cotton in the Southeast, or, apples in the Pacific Northwest, something like that? Are there any examples that you can think of as you're teasing through the data, you were like, wow, that's something that's really interesting?
Yeah, that's a great question, Clay. And so as I first mentioned at the beginning of this, I'm originally from the Pacific Northwest. And so when I moved down to the Southwest, I was not that knowledgeable of a lot of crops grown in the Southwest, especially those that are irrigated. And so I grew to learn that New Mexico is one of the top states producing pecans. And something interesting from the ag risk viewers, you can see where those losses of pecans are. And I was not surprised to see Georgia and New Mexico as the top two states, but also I was surprised to see Arizona, especially a lot in the Southeast along the I-10 corridor. So that was really eye-opening for me to learn that Arizona also had a lot of pecans, which is not something you associate with Arizona. And another interesting thing I learned from looking at the data was that even though we consider drought to be a very serious cause of crop loss, especially in those drought years such as 2011 to 2012, drought really, it comes and goes, and as it affects agricultural production. And it's really a story of drought and excess moisture. So it's either too little or too much rain. And it's kind of this back and forth dance between drought and too much rain across the U.S. in many regions. Where we're seeing this crop damage. We were also surprised in the Southeast region to see, we've seen an increasing trend actually in crop damage due to excess moisture. And that actually does, that trend matches recent research showing an increase in kind of a water cycle or precipitation intensity in that region. And so it's interesting to see how these data, while they're in dollars, and, you know, they're related to agricultural production and also climate, that there's that biophysical or environmental connection to what's actually happening in terms of weather and climate.
You know, stepping away from the ag risk viewer for a second, but just, you know, from your role as a fellow there with the hub in the Southwest, what are some of the changes that you're seeing in your region of the country, or some of the challenges or concerns that the states that your hub covers that you're really trying to focus on or right now, or that, you know, when you sit back and think about long-term things that we need to be helping producers with, what are just some of the things that are really sticking out right now?
You know, Clay, I think especially in the Southwest, you know, more than 70% of our crops are irrigated in the Southwest. So water scarcity is always the number one issue related to agricultural production. You know, will there be enough water for your crops? And especially here in the Southwest, where surface water is a commodity, really. You know, if there isn't that surface water, how much groundwater is there that acts as a buffer, and what does that look like? So this whole interplay between surface and groundwater is really important. And I think into the future, that water will continue to be the issue that the Southwest Hub will focus on. But water is a very broad issue, right? So it's not only surface and groundwater, but perhaps issues with irrigation and irrigation efficiency, and what are the types of equipment used to irrigate. You know, as a personal story, when I moved down to the Southwest, I was quite surprised to see a lot of pecan trees. And of course, a lot of the pecans are flood irrigated. And so I don't know the types of technologies that exist to change that type of irrigation, but that's something I have to think about in terms of the types of crops that are grown here, but also the water availability to actually grow a lot of those crops. So specifically for the Southwest Climate Hub, water and a lot of the scarcity issues is something that we continue to focus on.
You know, going back on the viewer a little bit and some of the other tools that are available through the hubs, if a person wanted to go online and to get more information or to test drive the AgRisk viewer, where would they go to make that happen?
Yeah, so the website for this for the AgRisk viewer is swclimate.info/RMA, and I hope Clay will provide this link somewhere in the description for this blog. But one can also just go to Google and type Ag Risk Viewer, and that should pop up as the first link.
Well, excellent. Well, Julian, is there anything else that you'd like to add for our listening audience before we wrap the podcast up?
I just want to say thanks, Clay, for this opportunity to speak to you and the audience. And I think that I hope that folks really find these data really interesting. As a scientist, I'm always excited to take data that have previously been kind of under the covers and uncover them and really provide a platform for them to be accessible, discoverable, and used by people. And whether they are used or not, we don't know until people actually tell us. And so I think this is a really exciting project. And you know, as we discussed, we're starting to include FSA and NRCS data, I think it's really exciting. And these are cool data because they're dollar amounts, and we know that dollars speak to people. And when we connect them to weather and climate events, you know, we're really trying to help people mitigate against these perils.
Well, absolutely. And that's a great place to end it. And Julian, thank you so much for taking time to be with us here on the podcast. And I want to thank all of you for listening today, too. Again, this has been an episode of the Southern Plains Podcast. The podcast is a joint venture of the USDA Southern Plains Climate Hub and the Redlands Community College Division of Agriculture, both located in El Reno, Oklahoma. I'm Clay Pope. I'm with the Southern Plains Climate Hub. We appreciate you again listening today. Thank you very much, and have a great rest of your day.